Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey there, Doom Patrol fans. We are talking about Doom Patrol Season 1, Episode 11, Francis Patrol. Vic is experiencing some inner growth, even though he's trying to go off the grid. Larry's finally working with a negative spirit to make something positive. And Cliff says, see you later, alligator. No need to dig through the belly of the beast to find your watch. The Doom Patrol After Show is starting right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What up, Doom Patrol fans? Whoop, whoop. We are talking about Doom Patrol Season 1, Episode 11, Francis Patrol. I am your host, Elena Jordan. But I'm not alone today. No. I'm hanging out with the dreamer of dreamers.
Ooh.
Ollie Dreamer himself.
What's
Ollie
up?
Drennan's here.
Nice to be back. Absolutely.
It's very good to see you.
I miss the show. The show's amazing. We're already at episode 11. Are you
That's
kidding
insane.
Me?
That's insane. This season is flying by. There's only, what,
four more? It's 15 episodes this season.
Man,
it's so sad. April's been so good, and
it's so quick. Ugh. You were off living the dream at Coachella.
Yes, but I'm back to reality.
As
some of the characters of Doom Patrol are.
Yes, which, man, this episode, we have so much to talk about this episode. Be sure to stick around for the whole thing, because we're going to be talking about so much. Vic going off the grid, Larry working with the negative spirit, Cliff fighting off a gator.
Yeah, right.
Florida style. It's not a trip to Florida unless you're fighting an alligator.
It really isn't.
It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. We'll also be talking about who we feel we are in our special segment, Who Are You? And of course, we love hearing from you guys, too. Ollie is in the chat.
Yes, I see you. I see you, Billie Jean Girl 24. Thank you so much. And obviously, there's other people there. Oh. Malachi, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
And we'll also be talking about our predictions. We want to hear your predictions, too. So be thinking about those.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be having those at the end of the show. But overall, what did you think about this episode?
I really, because honestly, I was kind of okay with not being here last week, because I really didn't care for last week's episode.
Oh.
Very disturbing with Beard Hunter and the sound effects. But anyway, I absolutely love this episode, because it was an episode where characters got to kind of confront their past and find closure. And I feel like there was so much weight on some of these characters, such as Cliff, such as Larry. And it was just so touching and almost heartbreaking that these characters were able to finally find solace within their pasts. It's so funny, because the show is Doom Patrol. It's wacky. It's crazy. It's an acid trip, right? But there's still so much depth and heart to its characters at the end of the day with an episode such as this.
I love it. Cliff may be the brain, but the whole show is the heart.
Exactly. And, you know, he's a robot man. He's robot man, but he got that brain. He got that heart.
I love it. I love it. So, unfortunately for Vic, this episode, though, we're seeing that he is going off the grid, literally. He's trying to detach himself from his software, his operating system, but grid is growing inside of him.
Yeah, that's...
He has this weird internal growth.
That's not
creepy.
Freaked
me out so bad I had to move my microphone with that. I'm fighting with my own machinery here.
Yeah,
I mean, that was disgusting when he cut open his arm. What did you think about that scene?
Well, it's also just kind of pinpointing the dark side and the horror of technology and how far we've come. I mean, obviously, we don't have cyborgs running around like Vic, but it's kind of also showing that, oh my gosh, we might be getting here one day. But it's like, I like that it's like technology has helped us so much, but there is also like the horrors. And I think that the show's kind of exploring that with Vic and his growth in more ways than one, right?
All of the characters are growing this episode. It's just, unfortunately for Vic, it's inside of him.
Growth.
That is a metallic cyborg. 63% stronger, though. That's pretty awesome if he learns how to harness it.
I guess there's a pro to, you know, I guess.
I mean, he makes a good point, though, is like he was not in control at all with that cannon. And with Jane having, I mean, what she says is like, look, it's psychedelic, what, donkey butt vomit
yeah.
art. What did she say? I can't remember what she said.
I wish I wrote it down.
I love it. Yeah. And help us out in the chat here. I did write it down, but I write down too many things, so I can't find it. But he was all freaked out about it. And so she's like, look, this is not a real thing. Don't worry about it. And he's saying it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this prophecy is starting. I mean, I don't want to get too into predictions, but how do you feel this has kind of been playing out?
Mm-hmm. I guess he is kind of, like, speaking of the prophecy, it seems like he is kind of becoming, like, the catalyst of the prophecy. Because, you know, and it makes sense because he obviously is an outsider of the Doom Patrol, our core cast of characters. Now he's coming. Oops. See? Fighting technology, y'all.
You talk about the machines, they start revolting.
But yeah, he just is that catalyst, and I can definitely see like this prophecy forming because of him now that he is with the Doom Patrol and things are happening within him. So I'm terrified, but I'm ready to see what's going to happen.
I love this whole idea, this episode of like the past, the present, and the future,
mm-hmm.
and how Vic is kind of the potential future here. This episode actually even ends with this big cliffhanger of him being kidnapped by the ant farm.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Darren Jones. Oh, Darren. Psych out. The thing is, though, I mean, last time we saw Darren was Danny the Street.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good guy. I mean, I don't know if this is maybe like...
Mm-hmm.
This is potentially good that he's turned himself in, or maybe he's just gone full-fledged.
I don't know. These characters, it's hard to trust them now that we're in 11 episodes deep, and even, I don't know if I can even trust the chief now at this point, Niles, you know? So,
it's hard to trust anybody.
In a way, I'm not surprised. So, I don't know. I don't know, man. It just the only people I trust are Cliff, Rita, Vic, Jane sometimes, and Larry. Those are my five people that I know I can trust.
So basically the whole Doom Patrol except for Vic.
Everyone else sucks. Yeah. Oh, Admiral Whiskers. I trust Admiral Whiskers.
Oh, Admiral Whiskers? Yeah. Really? You trust him?
He's awesome. Very awesome. I miss Admiral Whiskers.
He's squeaking around somewhere.
He's going to show his little squeaker self. His beady eyes are going to show up somewhere.
I don't trust him at all. He is the one who ate all of Cliff's machinery. Maybe that's what they need to do is find Admiral Whiskers, stick him on grid.
He could help Vic. I really do
literally
think that.
Literally take grid off.
I know that's predictions, but I don't know.
It could happen. Trust the mouse. Unfortunately, Jane, even though she's trying to kind of pull leader and pull rank here and get everybody to gather up, you know, they're not really having it. She finally goes off on this little mini adventure with Vic, and she does mm-hmm. not get herself captured by the ant farm.
Right.
Just saying. I mean, she gets tricked by the little distraction there, the guy fighting the girl, but Jane...
That was good.
Too active. She's like, don't... If you tell me to look at your elbow, I'm not going to look at your elbow. Get out of here, idiot.
I didn't see that coming, that twist of they were acting to capture them. The twist of it all. It was insane. But I'm happy that Jane didn't fall for it.
Yeah, and because now she's the only clue.
Exactly. So.
There's always something. There's always something to distract from the chief.
You know, Vic, I feel like hopefully we learn a little bit more about Vic's backstory, because I feel like there is that missing puzzle piece. Something is not right with his past and his mother's death. So I think that maybe him being captured will eventually lead to the full story. Because obviously Jane can't get captured. I mean, she was in that trance two episodes ago, so she's already had her captured episode.
Yeah, back in the underground. Yeah, we had pretty much the focus on Jane with the Jane Patrol. And I liked that this, like, last episode, we had the flashback to that moment of then Vic and Rita.
Mm-hmm.
And then going through all of their stuff. And then now this one, we see Larry's side, which we'll get into last, because save the best for last. This was like a good...
That was the core.
Oh, it was really, the spirit in your chest, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. But Cliff ends up... Poor Jane. We have this whole scene with she's talking to Rita about how she's trying to stay away from these other personalities and just kind of ignore them completely. Doesn't look like she's going to be getting that apology anytime soon. But Cliff asks Flit, hey, will you take me to Florida? Because I heard on the news, which I also love, the way that we hear about this Bump Weathers passing is also after we hear about our good buddy Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Larson, animal, vegetable, mineral man, would rather take a bullet and give up his partner, the dinosaur head attached to him.
And
do you think we're going to get some more of Steve?
We've got to get more of Steve, honestly.
Did you say MVP?
What?
Were you about to say MVP?
Yes, I was.
MV Steve.
Clearly, we've got... There's more of him. There's got to be. Or else I'm going to be very upset.
I mean, there is a lot to him. Animal, vegetable, and mineral.
You know, where's his episode? Come on, y'all.
Season 2? I would love an all-Steve episode.
I would like that, too.
I would be all about it. That was the only thing that I didn't like this episode, was that there wasn't Mr. Nobody.
Mm.
He's my favorite. I would like a whole Mr. Nobody episode. I would like a whole Steve episode.
He makes me upset.
That is my soapbox.
He makes me so upset because he just decides to come in whenever he wants to. And like, no, you either be consistent or you just get off my screen. And he just is very sporadic with his appearances.
I'll just take anything I can get, personally. I'm like, ugh. But you know what?
What?
Mr. Nobody may let us down sometimes, but nobody is let down by AfterBuzz TV.
Right. Absolutely. Because, guys, we love you so much. You make us the ESPN of TV talk. And all we ask for is that you like, subscribe, share our videos, comment with us in the live chat or down below. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on so many things. And give us that 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate that. The other numbers don't work. 5-star. Or just give us a 5-star in the comments below if you don't have Apple. You know, that's totally appreciated as well. So we just love you guys so much, and we love talking about this show. We're here doing this for you and ourselves, but also for you, because we love talking with you about the show. And shout out to Billie Jean in the chat, Malachi, you guys are awesome. Where's Ivan Soto, dude?
Where you at, Ivan?
Ivan, we miss you, buddy. Come on. Oh, well. Also, not to switch topics, but we learn Rita's real name in this episode.
Yes, Rita's real name, Gertrude Tramp.
Yeah.
Tramp Stamp Rita.
That's such a horrible name.
Gertie.
Gertie.
Ugh,
that's pretty bad.
A little hurdy for the Gertie.
Right? I like Rita better. I'm still calling her.
I like Rita.
I'm calling her Rita still.
But Gertie, a.k.a. Rita, and Cliff both get zapped to Florida. Flit helps them out. And they go to Bump's memorial.
Yeah.
We see Clara. And we also get to meet Big D.
Mm-hmm.
Big D's in the house. Everybody loves Big D.
Yeah.
Man, that chicken basket, though. Rita crushed that. That was amazing.
I know. I love seeing Rita just eat so much food. But also, it's so nice seeing Rita not fall apart. Like, she's in public and she's grown so much in this show. And I love it. Like, there's no more accidents anymore. And also, not even physically, but I feel mentally within herself, she has so much confidence. And she is here as a valid team member for the Doom Patrol. And I love that she is really trying to do her best to help people. I mean, she was trying her best. She really was, to help Jane a couple episodes ago. So I just really appreciate her. And I'm just Team Rita all the way.
I agree 100%. I feel like so far her arc has been the most defined of all of them, because we've seen her go from flat out saying, we are not superheroes, we will never be superheroes, to saying, all right, we have this obligation, we're superheroes, we need to adhere to this. Mm-hmm. So I love that she's just, you know, she's even saying we're full team Doom Patrol. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want to become the Doom Patrol that we saw that we know Jane is so worried about. And the reason she's so focused on finding the chief is so she can find out, too, why he would send her off exactly. potentially to this Doom Patrol old folks home.
What's up with that? We still don't got answers.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? SNL. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, that was such a perfect moment.
No, like, I'm glad we both were on the same page there.
But Cliff, having kind of a rough moment, going to see Clara, Rita playing it off so well about, like, this was a Halloween right? costume that he made, so he's wearing it in his honor.
She has a mission. That's another thing. I also loved seeing their dynamic, because I feel like Cliff and Rita, we haven't seen a whole lot of them, like, interact, I don't think. Or yeah. is it just me? I don't know. It was cool seeing, it was refreshing seeing them kind of work as a duo in this episode, because I feel like we haven't really had that. It's been a lot of, like, Rita and Larry, Rita and Vic, or Cliff and, like, Jane.
Yeah, I really like that they've kind of switched it up. I always enjoy when they kind of use, especially Jane's power, to physically separate characters, yeah. to isolate them together. So that, you know, like we had that great moment with Rita and Vic where they were saying that they normally probably would have had that conversation outside of the hotel right. episodes ago that led to so much growth. And now this with Cliff is really, really led to some growth because, I mean, he's going out to a swamp to fight Francis the alligator because it ate the watch that was his watch.
Yeah.
That Bump gave, so complicated, gave to Clara. Clara then had it inscribed to say, Dad, you're my hero, mm-hmm. to then give back to Bump.
Yeah, it was a messy situation.
And rip out Cliff's heart in the process. Oh, man, that is rough. But he went and got it.
He did.
What did you think about him leaving it on the table, though, instead of actually confronting Clara and talking to her about it?
That was a very powerful scene. I think a lot of people, maybe people might not think that, but I think that really was Cliff. One, he confronted his past, but also he kind of decided to leave it in the past. He realizes that he's Clara's biological father, but is he really her father? Like, has he been the father, the definition of a father, I suppose, rather than as opposed to Bump, who actually kind of was Clara's father. He was there, and I think he really realized that he can't change anything, you know. Yeah. And he kind of, if he can't change anything, then he kind of has to walk away, but he still did something for Clara at the end of the day, you know.
I love the symbolism too, that it was this watch. And that it was like, you know, at one time, this timepiece was Cliff's when he was Clara's father. Mm-hmm. And then that time changed yeah. when Bump was filling that role instead.
Yeah.
And now he can't get that time back, but he can literally honor that timepiece and yeah. leave it for her. Mm-hmm. As a, you know, this was something that meant a lot to you. I'm using it as a symbol. He was saying the whole time to prove his love, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's really more proving to himself now that he can kind of overcome this
yeah.
obstacle.
Because that was a lot of weight on his shoulders of yeah. just not being able to, his only family member being alive, yet she doesn't even know he exists. Her dad is Bump, you know, he can't change that anymore.
And
even
just
Bump's
the
dead.
Timing of it, too, if he literally has finally got the courage, was going to go talk, and they're like, Clara, speech! Mm-hmm. And then she does this whole speech about Bump being her dad, so it's like... Mm-hmm.
So, overall, I think it was closure for him, you know, despite him not actually speaking with Clara. But actually, it was a moment of, like, action speak louder than words for him.
It was pretty mind-blowing for him, literally. Rita thought that he had blown his brain out in the swamp and frayed his brain.
R.I.P. Francis.
R.I.P. Francis. But also, F you, Francis. You ate mom.
Right?
Like, psh, get out of here, Francis. See you later, alligator.
Yeah, in the chat.
After a while, crocodile.
Renji's just putting up, like, robot emojis versus crocodile emojis. And robot one.
Oh, yeah. It's classic case of robot versus gator. Man. Robot wins.
Right.
Every time. Every time. Now, speaking of closure, and also speaking of the importance of time, Larry, this episode, we see him. We've seen this all tying back to several episodes ago, the Jane Patrol episode with the big explosion. We finally get back to that room of, okay, Larry's, the negative spirit has come out. And while the spirit was connecting Cliff and Jane, where was Larry? Well, Larry was at the Big Sur Motel having a phenomenal time right? with John.
Right. They had like Philly. They had sex. But then right after sex, Philly cheese sticks, right? Or something along the lines of that.
Steak sandwich?
Oh, make me hungry right now.
Oh my gosh. Banging the love of your life and then having a dope steak sandwich right. after.
Honestly, big mood. Big
I'm
mood.
Like, Larry, man, I'm like, I understand why you want to go back to that moment, too.
Just
like,
keep me there for the rest of my life.
If I was brought to the bar, I'd be like, hi, can we go back to the sex and steak sandwich? Because
this bar's not cutting it, mood.
Like, I get it was like a whole, like, oh, wherever we are, like, just be okay with yourself and be okay with this moment. But regardless of that, I still would be like... Sex and steak sandwich is better.
I could be myself, dude.
I'm in a dream world and I have to meet your buddies that I don't know. Like, that's my nightmare in real life. If this is like a, we have limited time.
Yeah. But also that, I think that also showcased and displayed, reminded us that how uncomfortable Larry was back in the day of being around other queer people and being queer in like a public space.
And, of course, giving us that good note, like, about Rawhide opening up in Erie. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that, okay, this is where John is from. And that even though we're going back to this time, man, that was so poignant, too, at the beginning when John's like, I'm dead, aren't I? Mm. And he's talking. And he's like, you know, what are you talking about? And then you realize, oh, this isn't just a hologram. This isn't just an apparition that Larry has created in his head. He's actually linked to the real spirit of John.
Yeah. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't this like one of the first times that he actually admitted to John that he loved him?
Yeah. Right?
So that was
huge.
Huge. You know, and I don't think that he... It took blowing up in a an aircraft, right? to realize that you love you can't admit that you love someone until you blow up in an aircraft, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, okay, lesson learned. Don't, guys, just try to be all accepting of yourself and not have to go through an aviation mishap.
Yeah. And he also was always just so bent on being someone that he wasn't, obviously kind of following suit of heteronormativity of having the wife and the 2.5 kids and whatnot. And so that wasn't him.
And Cheryl, who passed away, even though they weren't, and him saying they weren't even close, like when she passed away. And
where are his kids, though? Did we ever, I forget if we...
He asked about the boys, too, and he was like, he doesn't really keep in touch with the boys either. And so that was kind of a sad thing that he was talking about, where he was like, he said, why I put this on them is because he still feels, because he's got all this weird stuff going on, is he feels that he's kind of like Cliff feels that he would just be a burden to his children. That's how Larry feels. And Larry's also kind of coming to terms with all of these aspects of himself. What did you think about him actually going back to Erie and seeing John, like old man John, and discovering that there was this actual connection, that he was going to some other dimension, some other realm, some space-time continuum that isn't really explained?
It was wild. Exactly. It's so funny that you say that it wasn't explained, but it, and as I'm still kind of confused and processing everything that happened, yet it still made sense at the same time, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't need any like in-depth scientific explanation of how that, the intricacies of how all of that worked, but it was still so well like shot, and it was still, the storytelling was so awesome, and it made sense that it didn't make sense.
Well, they had that one line that kind of explained it away, too, where he's like, you know, at my age, I just don't even ask questions. I just accept, like, right. whatever's happening. I'm like, I don't know how this is happening, but I'm glad that it is.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we are as an audience, mm-hmm. is we're like, okay, well, you know what? We don't understand the intricacies of it, but we're getting some growth for Larry. We're getting some closure that he desperately needs. He hasn't banged anybody since JFK, apparently. Like,
but I have to say that to me, this was like one of the most, it was a very special moment seeing Larry actually laugh, you know, with John.
Yeah.
And it was almost as if he hasn't experienced a whole lot of happiness or joy in his life until now. Or I just don't recall any major scenes with him being happy. And hopefully this is, like, kind of, like, I don't know, this is, like, a new journey, a new path that he can go to find the happiness that he wants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like when we see him kind of clutch his chest when in the spirit is there and he's thanking the spirit for this experience, we understand that now that these aspects of himself are working together and it's not such a duality, he's not fighting with this part of himself, that it's going to help him. What did you think, though, about him just walking away and leaving John's dead body out on the porch? Because I was like, I understand Moon River is playing, like, it played at the bar, it played at the hotel, it's playing now, it's sweet, but, like, there's a dead man on the porch, and you're just kind of, walking away, you know, like, thanks, man. Like,
you know, Elena, a wise person once said, I just don't ask questions anymore. He had the bed made. The maid, the nurse, she can clean that up.
Yeah, but I'm like, nurse has been looking after him. Just a heads up, he's dead out here. Like, maybe call the cops. Like, you don't have to just be, like, walking around looking for him and be like, oh, he's been dead for hours on the porch. Well, I thought he was hanging out with his buddy. No one gave me a heads up.
It was symbolic in the fact that he was walking away from his past because he finally had closure. He's leaving it because he left the dead body in a good place. So there you go.
Yeah, out of focus in the background as he's walking out. I'm like, okay, Larry, I get it. Good growth moment. There's a dead bitch on the porch. You're going to, like, do something about that.
You prove a valid point. I thought it would have been really cute if maybe he picked up
the dead body and laid it down. Yeah, like, I mean,
so sweet.
I did think it was sweet when he picked him up and he was like, wow, you're still really strong. And it's like, yeah, you're supposed to be the same age. That's also a good, like, call about how they're not aging. None of them are. So I think, still, I don't want to get into prediction. But yeah, I did really love, speaking of the Moon River song, though, that was just one other thing that I had a problem with was at the end was I was like, okay, we get it. Yes, they're very talented. The Moon River song is very loud this last time. And we get that it's like a rendition, but like, I don't know. I was like, this isn't the Kelly Clarkson, like, People Like Us song, like, where it makes sense in the scene. Like, now I'm just very much like, whoa.
I'm just going to leave it in the past. You know, so I'm just gonna walk away from that scene
just leave it dead in the background.
Exactly.
Don't tell anyone
in the background. Absolutely,
man. All right, well, any last thoughts on this episode before we dive into our special segment?
I just hope we don't see Beard Hunter again. It might have been this episode or was the last episode about Flex.
This episode we get a little bit more about Flex, that they need to be looking for Flex. Yeah. That's actually the Flex Mentallo is what led to Vic being captured, is because Dolores said that she was the wife of Flex, but apparently she's an ant farming liar.
I completely forgot about that. That was like why they left, as you said. But that's really, I wonder, because
it was a flat out lie. She's basically just like a late 2000s punk rock ska band. She's an alien ant farm.
But they did announce that Flex will somehow appear in the show somehow, in some shape or form. Yeah. I don't know
weird
how.
Weird Flex, but okay.
It's gonna Flex, you know? You know?
I like that, too, that they mentioned that, like, the cereal. They're like, the cereal box is called Mentallos.
Right?
I'm like, oh, yeah, legit.
We love it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Flex out here flexing.
Right. If that's going to actually happen, though, is it all a trap? Clearly it was, but I wonder if...
I mean, we got 4 episodes left. That's not that many.
Dude.
It doesn't seem like it's been 11.
It doesn't either.
The show is so good.
I know. I hope it gets picked. It has to be picked up again.
I feel certain it will be picked up again. I feel certain. But what I'm not so certain about, our special segment, Who Are You? This week is kind of difficult for me. I don't know who I picked this week. This one's a little rough, so I'm gonna throw it to you first.
Okay. I think I kind of can sympathize or kind of relate to Cliff in the episode. Because I just really related to the fact that sometimes, like, you can't fix the past. You can't change, well, you can change the present, but you can't fix the past. So sometimes you kind of have to let things go. You can't hold the weight. Because then it's just going to...
You can't wind back that watch.
No, you can't, because then you won't be able to move forward. And I think Cliff, in this episode, he can finally move forward now. And so we've all been there, you know?
I love that.
Especially with past breakups and stuff like that, you know? So, I loved his arc in this episode. What about you?
I feel like I probably identify most with Rita just because I was getting some serious college flashbacks my, like, elocution. Oh, and the chicken. I mean, that's just me at a buffet.
The wings.
I'm like, I would crush some wings.
Who doesn't love some style. Wings? I do like boneless, though. I have to say, Rita. Sorry.
I do like the boneless wings. I mean, I don't know, though. I like the bones because I like to be able to look at, like, the stack of my victory. Like,
I destroyed them all.
I did that. I used to go to CC's Pizza and, like, eat and make little log cabins out of the crust.
Oh, my gosh.
And then put, like, the wings next to it. Well, anyway. Well, we do have a little bit of news and gossip as well.
Oh, snap. TV news.
This episode, they were talking about the Okefenokee Swamp, which ties us into,
Swamp Thing.
We got some released images from Swamp Thing. We got a trailer now for Swamp Thing. So you guys should definitely Google and watch the new Swamp Thing trailer. It's going to be coming next month.
That's insane. Well, I mean, we're losing Doom Patrol, so we got to get our fix somehow with DC.
I mean, I'm wondering if the swamps are going to tie in.
Francis might make an appearance.
I hope we get some sort of shout out to Francis and Swamp Thing. Like, even if it's just like, look out for the gator. There's a big gator named Francis. And I'm like, Cliff killed it.
Dead Francis, even.
Just like, a big giant, like, floating gator. I don't know. I love it.
We'll see.
Also, like, between this episode and Peter Pan, what is it with gators eating timepieces? Like, I'm like, you're going to eat, like,
I didn't even catch that. That's so cool. Maybe that was a little...
eating clocks all the time. I'm like, get out of here, Flavor Flav gators.
I love that. Maybe it was a little shout-out to Flavor Flav. No, but...
Gator.
Maybe that was a shout-out to Peter Pan. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know. Never, like, the boy never grows old. Could be. They never grow old.
Like a lot of these characters.
It would make sense. I don't know. They always have kind of little references.
I know.
Well, with all the little clues that they've kind of sprinkled in, what do you say we dive into some predictions? All
right. It's that time. God.
And now,
here we go.
You're After Buzz TV.
Spooky.
Predictions.
Snaps.
Ugh. Okay, so my prediction is that next week we're going to definitely get more from Vic and kind of, I mean, we saw on, spoiler if you don't watch the next week on, even though for these they give us very little information. Yeah. We know that Silas is going to be there kind of trying to figure out where Vic is, obviously, as you would expect, looking for a son. I think that the ant farm is actually being infiltrated by Darren.
Okay. Really?
Because Darren Jones, last time we saw, was on Danny the Street and then was saying, I have to go back to this job. I have to go back working for this organization, even though I don't want to, because otherwise my friends, they're always going to keep looking for Danny. Like, Danny's never going to be safe and everybody here is always going to be, you know, like, it will be what ultimately kills Danny.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Darren is part of the mission to get Cyborg, because Darren's actually working to help Cyborg and keep him from being messed with too much.
Okay.
And that the painting is a prediction of what could happen, but it doesn't happen because I think there's some sort of time travel aspect. Like, I think it's going to happen, but then they're going to go back in time, and then it's going to be like some sort of, and then it's going to unhappen.
Oh my gosh.
Like Misfit style.
Now we're adding time travel.
Because we keep having the clock and all of the time references like this one. Like, anytime we have like some sort of thematic reference, it tends to tie into the next episode.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the time has to tie in. I think there's going to be some sort of time travel because of it.
Okay. Well,
I could be wrong.
Real quick, I think we got to find freaking Niles, man. Jane wants some answers. I want some answers. I don't think we're going to get any answers soon with Niles. But I think Jane, since she escaped from getting captured, she's definitely going to be the one who's going to round up the team now that everyone's got their closure. Everyone's good. Larry, Cliff, Rita, she's done with her chicken bones. So those four are going to have to band together in order to rescue Cyborg. I don't know how. I don't think they're going to be successful. That successful.
Ooh.
They might have to fight Cyborg. I think they're going to have a battle of... And I would love to see that. I want to see Rita kick some ass again.
I would love to see
I think it. Cyborg's going to lose control at some point, and it's going to be a battle to get him back to Vic and not the grid. So that's my prediction in a long shot. It's a long shot, but...
I like that. I mean, machines...
And hopefully we find out his full backstory. I want to know.
I want to know what happened with his mom. I don't think it was his fault.
No. I think it was Silas's fault.
I think it was Silas's fault, too. I think that's the big thing that's been covered up.
But is it too predictable? I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you guys think? Let us know in the chat or in the comments if you're not listening live.
Or... on Twitter or on Instagram or various social medias. Where can everybody keep up with you?
Well, guys, you can keep up with me on all social media platforms, preferably Twitter and Instagram, at Ollie Dreamer. What about you, Elena?
A dream come true.
Oh, yes. As long as the dream has Philly cheesesteaks.
Yes!
And maybe sex. Not required, but mostly the
steak sandwiches.
The sandwiches, please.
That's what I want. Yes. I'm Elena. You can send all of your steak sandwiches to me here at AfterBuzz TV. You can also find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at Elena J Jordan. And we'll see you guys right back here next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.